saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. Oh, this is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify why Jesus Christ the righteous. Sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. Oh, this is my testimony.
Hi, I'm Lionel Rexonus here. It's the influence of the Spirit. We will be coming at you week after week with solid nuggets, solid points on how to increase your intimacy with the Holy Ghost, growing in revelation of who you are in Christ. Just walking in that enhanced life, that Spirit walk life. It's going to be exciting. So please follow me on all social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. This will be amazing. It will be wonderful to grow together with you, grow in the things of the Spirit and in our walk, you know, and continuous exercise in the Holy Ghost. So looking forward to having you follow all the conversations we'll be having. It will be amazing.
Word of God, good evening and welcome. Or evening for those of us here in West Africa. Good morning, afternoon, night, wherever you might be right now. You're welcome to the Influence of the Spirit, our weekly edition. I trust that you're having a good time. Were you part of our last week's edition? Were you? Okay, if you weren't, you could still just catch all of the insight, all of the revelation. Just, you know, next button, click, scroll, and then you're right there. Whatever platform you're watching from, if it's Facebook, there's a next video right there on my page. If it's YouTube, next video. If it's Spreaker, just go back to, you know, the Influence of Spirit, click. It takes you to all the episodes we've had before now. And then, hey, you just jump right in. This series is wonderful, all right? And did you visit the website, all right? Did you, all right? If you haven't, I trust you would. There's so much there, over 80 messages, free, completely free, all right? So you don't have to limit yourself to what we're recommending. That is because of the teaching that is ongoing. So, hey, just enjoy as many teachings there that would be of great blessing to you. So we ended last week's episode talking about John chapter 5 and the 24th verse, right? John 5, 24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, will not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life." Has passed from death to life. What are we talking about? The two great forces, life and death, and how that in Adam disobeying God, he opened the door. The door was open to death. Massive, horrible door. Now, did Adam see the implication? I don't know how much of it, but in retrospect, he must have said, "Oh my God, what did I do?" All right, well, thank God for the reset button. Aren't you always excited when you can delete errors on your phone, you type a text, or even when you post something and then you could easily just get back and edit, all right? So it's always good to have an edit button. It's always good to have a reset button. And if man could have that much of an idea, God, all right, has much more. God has a reset button, and God hit that reset button in Genesis chapter 3, when God was speaking to everyone of them. Of course, it began with, you know, the serpent, and then it went to the woman, and of course, he ended up with Adam. Let me read something here that God said to them. We'll pick it from again. What now? Ooh, ha, 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 ha. All right, so Genesis chapter 3, and then, you know, where are we? Yep. Then the man said, verse 12, then the man said, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me this to eat." And the Lord said to the man, "What is this that you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I did eat." All right, so Adam, what'd you do? You know, it's pointing like, God, that way, Eve. And then God says, "Eve, what'd you do?" She goes, "That way, serpent. So God says, "Serpent, what'd you do?" And he must have looked at like nobody to point to. All right, joke, just in case you got it. All right. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this thing," all right, "you've done this, you're cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And, you know, I'll put enmity," this is a reset, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head," all right, "and you shall bruise his heel." So God here is telling the enemy, someone is coming to undo what he just did. This person will bruise your head. It means crush your governmental system, crush your powers, crush. This person will undo it, all right? Just hide and watch, be playing, have a great time, all right? But guys, from the moment this day happened, death was unleashed, all right? So if this was some cinematic stuff, all right, you might have seen some ugly looking demons just running around, "Hey, now we're free, now we can do what we want to do to man," you know, and then just free. Things go bad. Cain and Abel get born, hatred is brought in, murder comes in, ground is hard to till, childbearing is difficult. None of this was the plan of God from the beginning. This might sound funny to you. Mosquito wasn't meant to give you malaria, all right? Mosquito wasn't even meant to, you know, so you have to tell yourself, okay, this wasn't the plan from the beginning. Remember what happened in the wilderness? And we need to look at something. I said last week's episode that when you look at how all the animals, you know, had peaceful cohabitation in the ark with Noah, it paints a picture as to what the garden could have looked like. No animal ate, no, not like, you know, you know, maybe like, you know, the lion, you know, picked one small man, and Noah goes, lion, spit it out, and they go, I'm hungry, I can't eat grass, you know, whatever it is. They were all sustained. It's amazing. They stayed in the same place and everybody was safe. How could it happen? It's the power of God. Same again when you look at how Moses brought them out of Egypt in the wilderness. Their clothes grew on them. Guys, these people were not in heaven yet. But there was a blessing. So could you imagine how far the power of God really can go? Their clothes grew on them. So you come out of Egypt, all right? Maybe like what? A size 5. And then you grew in the number of years in the wilderness to what? Maybe a size 12. And then your clothes grew on you 40 years. Your clothes grew. You added weight, your clothes grew. Your feet got bigger. And then your sandals enlarged. There was no shopping mall. They didn't carry an extra baggage. These people were slaves. Like, yeah, they might have had some scrummy stuff. Whatever they had, they were slaves, and what they had would have been their size. So maybe if you say, well, daddy handed down, right, to kids, so who gave daddy what else to wear? Their clothes, the Bible said, grew on them. It's super amazing. This is what the power of God can do. This is what the that means, guys, that means if nothing wore out on them in the wilderness, wear and tear is a type of death. Nothing was to wear out. Man wasn't supposed to age. I said, how? Because man won't. Listen, it's the power of God. All this is now what death introduced, what death brought in. And God hit the reset button. Jesus came declaring, I have come that you may have life. I have come that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus hit the reset button. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. But we're dealing with the first force, all right? The force of death. Death has reigned. But for the child of God, I've got good news. The reign of death is over. The reign of death is over. The reign of death. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Back again to our Romans chapter 5. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, beautiful. So in Romans 5, so Paul writes, you know, classic, you know, rendering. Romans 5 and 12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death entered through sin, so death spread upon all men because all sin. Everybody died. Once again, this death is not physical death. It's a disconnection from the life source such that evil now can have its way. Evil. All sorts of evil. So the 13th verse, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. The word reign again, R-E-I-G-N, not rain like rainfall of R-A-I-N. This is reign as a king, R-E-I-G-N. So death reigned from Adam to Moses, meaning death sat on the throne like king. She's dying now. Earthquake there. You know, people get to say, you know, earthquakes and all them tsunamis are the acts of God. No, that's an insult on his person and an ignorance on Bible revelation. Through one man, Bible says, sin entered, death entered. And this death, if you remember Romans chapter 8, the whole world waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Bible says all of the world is subjected in vanity, waiting, hoping, and they are groaning and yearning. Why? Because everybody was subjected into horror. The animal creation, they feel this thing. The plants, they feel this thing. The North Pole and the South Pole, they feel it. The earth feels it. Something is wrong. Something went wrong from when death came in. Things began to die. Haven't you have to think about heaven? Nothing seems to die in heaven. In Revelation 22, I trust I might get there before this whole series is over. All right, Bible says that the trees in heaven, they just always bear fruit every month. And we find that already spoken of in Ezekiel 47, how that the trees there bring forth fruit every month. Maybe, I would like to believe. Maybe. That is why when Jesus saw the fig tree, the time of figs had not come, he had no fruit. And people wonder, okay, Jesus knew that the time had not come. Why would he curse the fig tree? All right? For me, you know, two things. Of course, a class demonstration of faith. Guys need to know how to work faith. So let me show you. These are the words. I speak to something. But secondly, where Jesus is coming from, there's never fruitfulness. Where Jesus is coming from, trees always have fruit. Now, of course, I knew he grew up there. I knew trees didn't always have fruit. But in this case, he just had that you should have fruit. Just for us to learn something. Guys, there is no season of no fruitfulness. I know we're used to, you know, certain months of the year being better than some others. Or people say, oh, January is always the longest month. Money, you know, is always finished before the month is over. Watch what you say. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. But it's just so real. It's happened to me since X, Y, Z, you know, none of that. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Someone, right, from verse 1 says, blessed is man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law, he will meditate day and night. Verse 3, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He will bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves will never wither. That sounds like what? His leaves will never wither. Yes, I know you might say, well, there are four seasons. God created seasons from Genesis. All right, and then we have winter, autumn, spring. And yes. His leaves will never wither. So the seasons, four seasons might be here on earth. I don't think there are four seasons in heaven. Heaven says your leaves don't wither. So there's no fall where all the leaves have to drop off and then we start all over again. No, his leaves never wither. Heaven's condition, heaven's atmosphere, and that's God's agenda for your life. Your leaves never wither. Your leaves never wither. And you bring forth fruit in your season. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Bible says again in the 14th verse, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. And I said last week, Moses had a stopper. Death has a master. When death sees blood, death chills. Right kind of blood, all right? If for Moses, it was the blood of bulls and of goats. Not says, oh, I have goats at the back of my house. Let me go offer it. You might have to know how to offer it. So it wasn't given to all of Israel to offer. It was handed over to the priests. Please remember that. All right? Now, some now have satanic associations where they now enter into such and make blood sacrifices. That's satanic. They are trying to tap into the operations of God. Bible makes it clear in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So blood was used to defeat death, as it were, in, you know, Egypt. Blood on the doorpost, blood on the lintels. It was the blood of lambs, all right, blood of rams. And the death angel saw the blood and passed over. So also death, now not just death to kill, but death to affect their having to be able to give birth and then the produce of their farm and the prosperity of their business. Was the high priest offers of the blood every year, goes into the Holy of Holies. And then it comes out, you know, and then, you know, the trumpet is blown and all, hey, atonement is achieved for 1 year. They know they have peace. They know they have prosperity. There was a shedding of blood. There was a shedding of blood. And Jesus is our high priest. And he hung on that cross once and for all. Shed his blood for all of us for all time. Paid our price by his death on the cross. Offered up his blood and redeemed mankind. So the price of death has been paid. Romans chapter 6 and 23 says the wages of sin is death. All of us were doomed to die. All of us had died, all right? But then the next death was awaiting us. But Jesus showed up and dies our death. Glory to God. For the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and 23. Well, it doesn't end there. Maybe you grew up hearing all the time, the wages of sin is death, my brother. The wages of sin is death, my sister. It is true. The wages of sin is death. Jesus therefore came and took the death, paid the wages of the sin. And the last part of the verse says, the gift of God is eternal life. So Jesus brings a gift. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he brings a gift, eternal life. God's gift to you, God's gift to me, and it was the reset button. Two Adams, we'll see that in a minute. There are two Adams. The first Adam brought in death, the last Adam brings in life. Did you get that? The first Adam brought death. Now, not because that was his assignment, but because of his disobedience, he brought in death. But the last Adam brings life. Let's still in Romans, right? So pick it from what now? The 15th chapter. Let me switch to NLT. So Romans 5 and then from 15, the New Living Translation. Are you ready? It says, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful gift and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. So two Adams, two men. I'll read 15 again. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater than what Adam did, all right? Greater than what Adam did is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And verse 16, the result of God's gracious gift is even very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. So Adam's sin brought condemnation. God's free gift, free, guys, his free gift, all right, brought justification. Verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. The King James and the New King James is the word reign. I'll talk about that in a minute also. All right, so we're looking at two Adams now. So the sin of this one, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I want you to see this. So death reigns. Death is ruling. Death is Lord. All right? But Bible now says there's a new king in town. And I'm not talking about Jesus. I want you to see verse 17 again. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused the death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it, all right, will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Christ. So death now has a new master. Who? You, the blood-washed, blood-bought believer in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let me switch in that 17th verse of the New King James, all right? So, where is my New King James? All right, King James found you, New King James found you. All right. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, all right? Don't forget, if by one man's offense death reigned. Should I take a minute and talk about the reign of death again? Like we did last week, I would ask, why do you pray before you travel? What are you afraid of? There's a reign of death. There's a reign of death. Why do you pray before you go to bed? Why do you pray before you eat your food? Oh, we should give thanks. No, some of us don't pray to give thanks. We pray because just in case there's something wrong. All right? Why don't you visit certain people? Because they might harm you. Why can't you go to certain places? Why'd you make the sign of the cross? All right? In the Bible, they say the sign of the cross, every knee will bow, okay? But why do you make the sign of the cross? You're afraid. Maybe you grew up watching, you know, vampire movies, Dracula. And the way they defeated vampire was, you know, they just crossed their fingers and like, go back, vampire. All right. It works in the movies, all right? Bible says at the name of Jesus, not at the sign of the cross. Hope that didn't offend anybody. I'm just asking us to stay with the word. But why do you do what you do? What are you afraid of? It's the reign of death. Child of God, death has been defeated. And not just death, the fear of death has been defeated. Yes, I'll read this, we'll go there. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. One more time. All right. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam's offense, death reigned through that one man, or that one man's offense, much more. You know what I mean? Not much more, greater than? Much more. Listen, what God did for us in Christ, or through Christ, is greater than what the enemy was able to achieve through the sin of Adam. What Adam did by opening the door and then the devil came in. What God did not do with it was greater. God didn't equate it. God smashed it. You and I now live. And I think it was Pastor Hagin, Reverend Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, Jr., Pastor Hagin. Right? He talked about the fact that the prison door has been opened. Why is he still sitting there? So it's like the doors have been opened. The church is free. Like the whole of humanity, like in bondage, in slavery, in bondage to the enemy, in bondage, and then the moment you confess Jesus as Lord, your chains fall off. You try to walk out. But many times our chains fall off, but what's still sitting there? It's like that experiment, an insect was put, in a case, was covered, and then he tries to fly out, he hits the top, flies back in. Flies out, hit the top, fly back in. Try, hit the top, fly back in. So the case, the covering of the case is taken off. So the insect doesn't fly above that particular limit. Why? Something has been set in his mind. Now he's free, but he can't fly. That's why we get the word. That's why we know the truth. And we enjoy liberty by the truth of God's word. The new creation is not expected to live like the old creation. What defeated you as an unbeliever should not defeat you now. What pulled you down as an unbeliever, Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if any man, you are now inclusive, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things, oh, thank you, Lord. That is one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible. And a verse yet to be milked by the church. Oh, you find Christians going for deliverance. Oh, saying this demon is disturbing me, that demon. The major deliverance we need is a deliverance from ignorance. We need to come into terms with the reality of who we are. We need to move from head knowledge to revelation. We need to put our foot down and say, I'm going to fight to the last. And I'll still be standing because I know what the word of God says belongs to me. You could use 2 Corinthians 5:17 to deal with sickness in your body. I was sick, and as an unbeliever, I can't be sick as a new creation. I had habits, or my sinful habits as an unbeliever, I can't have the same. Some say, why can you say that? Why can you say that? Because all things are passed away. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. All things, tell that habit. Tell that habit. You're passed away. You're gone with my old life. You're passed away. Oh, but maybe you've been born again 5, 10 years and you still allow that. You could tell it today. Now I know you're passed away. You knew you were passed away, but you knew I didn't know, so you took advantage of my ignorance. Now I'm delivered from ignorance. I know you're passed away. So in the name of Jesus, I refuse you. Tell that symptom. Oh, I was born sickle cell. Oh, I was born with asthma. Oh, I was born. No. It's passed away. You are the new creature in Christ Jesus. John 5:24 says you have passed out of death into life. So listen, when you were in the realm of death, Satan ruled over you. Now you have changed lordship. Now you have changed position. Now you have changed location. So what was your Lord then is not your Lord now. The day you got born again, he said, Jesus, you are Lord. If Jesus is Lord, then life is your Lord. Then blessing is your Lord. Then good is your Lord, not evil. So the enemy cannot. He can't. The enemy can't be bold enough to take a bold walk from his own, terrain there and step into the kingdom of God and say, I don't care who reigns in this kingdom. I'm going to lord it over the people here. Hey, you're going to be sick. Hey, you're going to die young. Hey, you're going to have an accident. Hey, you. No. The enemy cannot come into God's terrain and talk like that. What then allows him to talk like that? Our own ignorance. We permit the devil. Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Right, when we don't know our rights and privileges in Christ, a lot happens to us. When we don't know our rights and privileges in Christ, we go through so much we shouldn't go through. Romans 5 and 12, again, you've got to see this. Please, you've got to see this, child of God. All right. It says, by one man's offense, okay, death reigned by one, right? Through one man's offense, actually. Death reigned by one. Romans 5, 17, for if by one man's offense, death reigns, death becomes king, death becomes ruler, Lord. All right. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. You and I that are born again, we have received abundance of grace. We have received the gift of righteousness. It says, they will reign, not in heaven. They will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. The Amplified Classic, as they will reign as kings. Death has reigned as king. I'm the new king now. You might not be king over your neighbor's life, but you're king over your home. over your health, over your finances, over your own body. You're king over your domain. Every king has his own domain. So the enemy, he reigned. Now Satan can still be reigning in someone else's life. But you are now born again. You reign in this life. Oh, come on. The reign of death is over. The reign of death is over. The reign of death is over. Second Timothy. All right? Second Timothy, and then the first chapter, we pick it from the sixth verse. Paul writing here says, Timothy, therefore I remind you, all right, I'm using the New King James. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you, verse 7, the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You know, many times we like to, you know, excuse why we're afraid. And then you touch it up, code it up, and call it other names and add phobia to it. Stop touching up the enemy. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Oh, but I'm claustrophobic. Stop it. Oh, Stop it. It's fear. You know what it is. Hey, you know, it's fear. Go to God's word and gain deliverance. God, you tell that fear. God hasn't given me the spirit of fear. I refuse to allow the spirit my father never gave me. Come on. It's not enough to just sing, you know, I'm no longer afraid. No, don't sing. I'm not saying don't sing the song. I'm only saying sometimes get busy singing and it ends with singing. No, let that song be a meditation. That's how to handle such music. Let it be a meditation. I'm no longer afraid. I'm no longer afraid. I'm a child of God. Do you know what it means to be a child of God? It means you don't have that spirit. Fear is of the devil. Hello. Fear is of the devil. You don't have it. But I get afraid. Yes, it tries to get on every one of us, me inclusive. It does. I mean, you could be praying and pacing and enjoying that prayer time. And one funny fear thought could come. And then you stop in your tracks. You start giving it room. What if something goes wrong there? What if something goes wrong there? What if something goes wrong there? If you're not careful, your tummy begins to turn. It begins to rumble. You just want to quickly run to the restroom like you're purging. And it was just a thought of fear that triggered all of that negative vibe through you. But in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. In the name of Jesus, I do not have the spirit of fear. I do not, you know, and all of fear is sourced from death. The root of all fear is death. You're afraid you will lose something. You're afraid you will lose someone. It's fear of death. Loss is death. You know, a loss of relationship, relationship died. Or a loss of a business died. A loss of profit is loss. It's all a form of death. So I want you to keep reading with me now, all right? So verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. All right? Verse 9, all right? According to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ just before time began. He gave us purpose and grace in Christ just before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Please notice this. He has abolished death. He has abolished death. You know what it means to abolish something? To end it. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Let's just run through. What? NLT says what? Now. All right. He broke the power of death. Come on. Through Adam, death reigned. Death found the expression, but Jesus broke the power. Remember what Jesus said to John in Revelation chapter 1? He said, I have the key of death and hell. I have the key of death and hell. I have it. So the enemy doesn't have it anymore. Jesus has it. Jesus has it. Jesus has it. Glory to God. So you and I have got to get this. Let me read what now? Passion Translation. This truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating all its effects on our lives, and has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel. Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. Let me read it again. This truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death. Jesus has dismantled death, obliterating all its effect on our lives, and has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel. Wow. Glory to God. In Adam, we died. In Christ, we're made alive. In Adam, we died. In Christ, we're made alive. So whatever Adam did, Christ has come to undo. Whatever Adam did, Christ has undone. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful, child of God. This is amazing. Woo, this is amazing. Let me read what now? What should I read? Message translation. All right, I'll just pick the latter part. All right. It says, but we know it now. Since the appearance of our Savior, nothing could be plainer. Colon. Death defeated, life vindicated in a steady blaze of light, all through the work of Jesus Christ. Death defeated. Death defeated. Amplified Classic. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Death has been annulled. Death has been made of no effect. The thing the believer fears is death. And Paul the Apostle grew in this revelation. Earlier, all right, in his ministry, was told they wanted to kill him. He had to be let down from a basket. But in Acts 20, if you remember Acts 27, right, he was shipwrecked on his way to Rome, ended up on an island called Malta or Melita, right? So in Acts 28, right, they were cold and, you know, they had to swim ashore. So the villagers were very kind and, you know, generous to them, helping them, keeping them warm with fire. So Paul had to go catch some sticks, all right, fetch some sticks to add to the fire. And he did not know he had picked up a serpent, all right, a snake amongst the sticks. He threw the sticks into the fire and a viper came out and fasting. If you read the word in King James, it just says fasting. Fasting is for example like ties itself around. No, it beat Paul. Bible said the snake was dangling from the hand of Paul. The villagers saw it and said, wow, this man, obviously, all right, death is chasing him so much so that death followed him here. But Paul shook the beast into the fire. They waited for him to fall down, swell up, die, but he suffered no harm. They said he must be a god. No, he was a new creature. He was a new creation. He was a new creation. He was a new creation like you, like me. What Paul has is what we have. And Paul is teaching us here. Listen again to the Amplified. He says, I'll pick the last part again. He says, death, all right? Who? He says, Christ Jesus, who annulled death. He annulled it. He annulled it and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality. Woo! In brackets, immunity from eternal death. Are you seeing this verse where you are? Are you reading this verse where you are? Let me read the whole of verse 10. And it is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death to light through the gospel. Oh, death has been annulled. Immortality has come. So inside us, hallelujah, is the life of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Death. So that fear you have of HIV, that fear you have of coronavirus, that fear you have of asthma, that fear you have of ulcer, that fear you have of tuberculosis, tell it in the name of Jesus. You're dead in my body. Cancer, you're dead in my body. You spit your womb. No, every part of your body. No, I am fruitful. Why? Death is annulled. Death is defeated. Death is obliterated. Glory to God. Let me read that TPT. All right, again, before we leave here, all right? This truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating all its effect on our lives. All the effects of death on our lives have been obliterated. Come on, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, all the effects of death are gone.
from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. All the effects of death are gone. Every system in your body, every system in your body, oh, to your limbs, oh, to your bones, every system in your skeletal system, oh, everything that might be wrong, every effect of death has been obliterated, wiped out, wiped out, wiped out. You have the life of God in you now, in the name of Jesus. You have the life of God. I speak to your lungs. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that, your respiratory system. I call it full of life. The power of death is broken. The power of death is destroyed over you by Christ. In the name of Jesus, I speak to your digestive system, your stomach not being able to hold down food, or the walls of your belly being affected by ulcer, peptic ulcer, whatever it is, I curse it. I declare that the life of God is at work in you now. I speak to every form of growth, every cancer, every blood disease, every bone disease, every mind issue, every mental issue. In the name of Jesus, I pronounce death. You have been defeated. Death, you have been dismantled. Life has been unleashed. Life has been released. Child of God, enjoy the liberty that is yours. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, enjoy the liberty that belongs to you. Death is defeated. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews 2, Bible gives us a clear revelation again here from the 10th verse of Hebrews 2. It says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom our whole things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." All right, that's verse 10. 11 says, "For both he that sanctified and they that sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren." That means you and Jesus are now brothers, family. "I'll declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I'll sing your praise again, and I'll put my trust in him again." All right, I and the children whom God has given me. All right, so he's laying a foundation. Christ offered a sacrifice and we became one together with him. Now, verse 14, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood," that's us, right? Born, of Adam, the first Adam. "Inasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," or have partaken of flesh and blood, "he himself likewise," please notice this, "shared in the same," that's in the same flesh and blood, "that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Oh, you need to read this. You need to read this. Are you still with me here? All right? We'll be closing in the next few minutes. Hang in. Hang on. Let's get this revelation out. All right? Let's get the revelation out. All right. Glory to God. New King James. "Inasmuch then," that's 14, 15, Hebrews 2. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." He didn't just defeat death. He now released those who through their lifetime were subject to bondage, to the fear of death. Men have been subject to the fear of death. Why? Death reign. Death reign. Oh, be careful over there. Oh, don't do this. Oh, we're afraid of death. Now, I'm not asking us to grow stupid overnight and then just, you see a moving car, you say, "Let me test it. I'm not dead. I'm not going to die." That's what we're saying. But I'm saying you can't, listen, you have your domain. Death cannot. Oh, glory to God. You remember John chapter 1? So John chapter 1 verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5 now says, "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend." Which is stronger? Darkness is in the place you come in with a flashlight. What happens? Because you come in with light, you can see. But has there ever been light and darkness walked in and everywhere got dark? No. Light is superior to darkness. Darkness is still trying to figure out light till tomorrow. Darkness is trying to, the same way, please understand this. Death cannot stroll from where it is and enter into the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 1 makes it clear. We have been delivered from the power of darkness and transported into the kingdom of his dear son. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. You, yes, you. That demon cannot influence you. It shouldn't. Don't allow it. You're delivered. It will play on your ignorance. It will thrive on your ignorance. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So tell me that the devil can move away from that, enter the kingdom of God's dear son, come and harass you. No! We open the door through ignorance. We open the door through unbelief. We open the door. Shut the door. Slam it on the devil's face. He says, I'm going to kill you. This pain you're feeling in your back, you're going to die. Slam it on his face. Death has been destroyed. In Christ, I have life. Oh, I have life. So I was telling you about Paul, the apostle. Paul, the apostle, had to be let down in a basket. Then by, Acts chapter 28, Paul could shake a snake. Paul didn't even go, ouch, snake, yeah. And then now says, amen. Sometimes the tongues we speak, sometimes it's panic tongues. And the Holy Ghost knows when you talk panic tongues. Get up on the vision. No, Sometimes you watch, even on TV, a preacher wants to lay hands on a sick person and the camera shows the people praying in tongues. Then the person gets healed. See the way they scream. Didn't they believe the person was going to be healed? You almost wonder then why that tongues. Do it, oh God. And the person gets healed. They go, glory to God. Now, yeah, we should rejoice when somebody gets healed. But sometimes the tongues showed a bit of uncertainty. Oh God, don't fail the man of God right now. Oh, we're supporting the man of God by faith. Sometimes hold your prayer. There's no need. It's not praying in faith. All right? So sometimes, Paul didn't have to talk in tongues. No, he was full. It was Paul that told us in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? The law that was opened, the demonic, devilish, satanic law that came in when Adam sinned in Romans 5:12. Through one man's offense, sin entered and death by sin. So sin and death rule together, right? And death spread upon all men. But in Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit of life, has made us free. Romans 8:2, you need to see that verse. Oh, you need to see that. I'll take it one more time. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you and I free from the law of sin and the law of death, from the law of premature death, from the law of accidents, from the law of failure in life. We're free from any level of barrenness, financial, marital, mental, physical, any level. You're free. Glory to God. Oh, you're free. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I'll read this Hebrews 2 again and make reference to Romans 8, and then we'll close on there. Time is up right now. The Passion Translation says, since all his children have flesh and blood, so Jesus became human to fully identify with us. He did this so that he could experience death and annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser who holds against us the power of death. Verse 15, by embracing death, Jesus sets free those who live their entire lives in bondage to the tormenting dread of death. By embracing death, Jesus sets free those who live their entire lives in bondage. Woo! Jesus sets you free. Be free from the fear of death. It will try to come. Hey, come on. Didn't the devil still try to tempt Jesus? He did, didn't he? So he'll still try to come on you. Even after you heard this, you put your foot down. I refuse to be afraid. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to be afraid. Oh, thank you, Lord. I refuse to be afraid. Amplify. Since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood, in the same physical nature of human beings, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through that he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And also, oh come on, he zeroed the devil. Not that Roma calls him a zero with the rim knocked off, right? zero that has his rim knocked out. 15, and also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death, all right, were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. We're free, child of God. We're free. So John 5:24 says, most assuredly I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. He will not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. You and I are passed from death to life. All right? And then Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. You're free from poverty. You're free from sickness. You're free from disease. You're from anything hell has to swing against you. The power of the enemy has been annihilated, obliterated. Its effect has been knocked out of us. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are blessed. What a blessing. Such blessing. What a blessing. Such blessing. The power of the enemy has been knocked off, knocked out. We are blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. All right, guys. I mean, we're done. We'll catch up again next week. But please, please, please visit our website. All right? The details are on the screen. It's LarryRexAnnoncia.com. There are over 80 messages there. Free download. Visit the website. Freely share. But because of what we're dealing with right now, I want you to listen to the teaching Understanding Life. It's a 12-part series. And please follow on all social media handles. If you're listening on Spreaker, click the follow button, please. And share. Facebook, share. YouTube, share. All right? Go on WhatsApp. Build a broadcast list. Or just tell your friends, it will bless them. You know it will bless them. This will bless you. Watch this video. Go to that website and let's load up. All right? Tell them. Watch the video and go to the website. 12 messages over 80, but 12, Understanding Life, part 1 to 12, and let's knock the devil, all right, back to where he belongs, all right? He doesn't belong around your house, not around your friends, not around your kids, not around your finances. Knock him off with the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you again next week. Until then, just follow on social media, follow as we drop everything again and again. Spread the gist. Have a beautiful, life-filled week. Bye.